Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A couple of the things are following this noon hour is the heat, a little lower than yesterday, and powerful Hurricane Lee is beginning to weaken. I'll show you what's next with that storm.
Plus, police make a second arrest in the shooting death of a 19-year-old woman.
Also, a big win for people who suffer from sleep apnea after a nationwide recall of devices. How much one manufacturer could have to pay to those impacted.
Temperatures are hot again this afternoon, but the weekend looks cooler. Stay with us. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Yes, hang in there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center with a look at our last day in the 90s for a while, but a wetter weekend.
Yeah, there is a trade-off there, but I know folks are ready to get rid of this heat that we've seen. The last couple of days, we've been in the low 100s, looking at mid-90s for high temperatures this afternoon. We also have that chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms, and that chance goes up this weekend. We take a look at Futurecast, and we'll start to see some clouds increasing. Our potential for rain this afternoon and evening is pretty minimal. You can see a few scattered showers from Clinton over toward Goldsboro, Rocky Mount, and Wilson. We had the chance and the triangle, but the latest runs of the computer models have really dried things out for us around the triangle, which is good for anybody who's going to be out and about at a Friday night football game or at hopscotch tonight. Now, the chance goes up this weekend to 50% Saturday and then backing off to about 40% on Sunday. We're going to walk through both of those days for you coming up. Looking outside at Pinehurst, looks lovely. It is a little on the warm side. We're already at 92 in the triangle, but our humidity is down. Our dew point's at 65. That's lower than it was yesterday. So the temperature will likely feel like the temperature, and we won't see that heat index feeling a lot hotter than it really is. So it's 92, but feels like 95. In Fayetteville, though, it's 88, feeling like 97. And Clinton, it already feels like 100. But look at that. In Roxboro, 82, feeling like 82. That sounds great, doesn't it? Our temperature in the mid-90s for this afternoon, again, should feel like mid to maybe upper 90s to the afternoon, and then we begin to cool things down this evening, but a few of us could see a few scattered storms, especially south and east of the triangle. Looking at Hurricane Lee, the new information that came in at 11 o'clock, a big drop in the wind speed. The forecast from this morning was for winds at 180 miles per hour. It's looking like there's some wind shear affecting the storm. You can see that in the eye. I'll show it to you coming up. No major track shifts with the new update. The forward motion is likely to slow continuing into next week. So winds at 155 miles per hour right now. We can follow that forecast track. It does remain category 4, but very slowly begins to weaken as we get into the middle of the week. Eventually, we're going to see that turn. I'll show you how it could affect North Carolina coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Breaking news in Apex. Moments before this newscast, police searched the home of a woman found dead in Jordan Lake.
This week, investigators used fingerprint analysis to identify this woman as 34-year-old Hadil Hikmat. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is on the scene right now. Chelsea, officers left that neighborhood just a few minutes ago. What do we know about this?
Yeah, we want to draw your attention to this yellow condo here on Treviso Lane in Apex. I'm told by the brother of Hadil Hikmat, she is the victim. Her body was found on August 29th in Jordan Lake, that this is the home of she and her husband and another relative here in Apex. Moments ago, as you mentioned, let's show you some of that video. It was surrounded by Apex and Raleigh police as they executed a search warrant on this home. We understand at the same time they were also executing a search warrant on Westcott Drive. That's in Holly Springs. We do know from the Chatham County Sheriff's Department confirming this, that these two locations were frequented by 34-year-old Hadil Hikmat. Now, you'll recall in our reporting from the last week or so, her body was found by a boater back on August 29th at Jordan Lake. That boater then called 911, and that's when the Chatham County Sheriff's Office responded. At that time, though, they did not know the identity of the victim. So that's when they put out a sketch of a woman. That was a sketch that went across the United States and was seen by her brother who lives in Istanbul, Turkey, who alerted authorities that that was his sister. And subsequently, we understand through a fingerprint analysis that she was identified as 34-year-old Hadil Hikmat. Again, we're starting to see some leverage on this story now. No arrests have been made, but we do know this morning that cops did surround this home home. We're hearing from neighbors that this street was completely blocked off while these two agencies executed a search warrant. But we can't confirm that this location and another location were searched this morning. But no arrests have been made in this situation right now that Chatham County is still calling a homicide investigation.
Certainly a mystery and a lot to this. We'll continue to follow. Chelsea Donovan live in Apex. Chelsea, thank you.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center this afternoon, we are following reports that an Atlanta area special grand jury that investigated the alleged 2020 election interference in Georgia by former President Donald Trump is also he also recommended charging Senator Lindsey Graham. Now, a prosecutor ultimately decided to decline to seek an indictment for him. Those recommendations were found in a 26-page final report that was actually released today, suggesting that 10 other people also be criminally charged in this. Now, a regular grand jury indicted Trump and 18 others on multiple charges. According to the report, 13 jurors did vote to indict Senator Graham. 7 voted no and 1 abstained.
Michelle, thanks. Hundreds of North Carolinians are missing. And today, an event being held at RTB to assist the families of these missing people as they look for their loved ones. WRL's Shelley Jackson is live there at RTP for us. Shelley.
Well, today the governor has declared today Missing Persons Awareness Day. So far this year in North Carolina, more than 10,000 people have been missing. 700 of those cases are active. And take a look at this board. There are 578 photos. This boy, 4-year-old, missing since 2000. This woman since 2005. And this woman since 1941. Every photo on here represents a family torn apart and devastated by the disappearance of their loved one. So today's event is for those loved ones, pulling together resources. We have 8 different agencies here. You would think when you report someone missing, that's it. But there are a lot of different resources and assistance available that folks just don't know about. Even over here, NamUs, if you're coming down here, you're asked to bring medical records, dental records, maybe a biological relative other than yourself, so you can do a DNA swab as well. So there are a lot of folks with missing relatives who are here. I talked with a woman from Charlotte, came out here because her relative has been missing for 2 years, and she's hoping this can help her find some more answers. This event runs until 3 o'clock if you want to come on down. Jeff?
All right. Very valuable information. A lot of families affected there. Shelley Jackson live at RTP. Thank you.
A second juvenile is now in custody for the shooting death of Danielle Golcher. The 19-year-old from Hope Mills was shot on July 17th along Bragg Boulevard in Fayetteville. One of the suspects was taken into custody last month. The second was taken into custody on Monday. Both are currently at the juvenile detention center. No word on a motive. Apex police are sounding the alarm about a man pretending to be an officer and trying to stop people. Apex police say a person told them the impersonator stopped them on Center Street near US 1 on Tuesday. Police say he was driving a black Ford Crown Victoria with red and blue lights in the visor area. The victim says the man's car had damage to the front bumper. Apex police say if you're ever stopped by someone claiming to be an officer, you should stop in a well-lit area and call 911 to verify.
State lawmakers say they plan to vote on a new budget next week, but it's still not clear if it will include a massive expansion of legalized gambling in North Carolina. Legislative leaders want to allow up to 4 casinos and legalize video poker machines statewide, but there may not be enough support for this. WRL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the legislative building with the latest on this. Laura?
Jeff, you know, it's less than a week before that expected budget vote, and we still have not seen an official proposal what they're talking about for expanding gambling. They're keeping it very much under wraps. They say they're still working on the details. They don't plan to release it unless it's a part of the budget, and they don't plan to hold a public hearing on it either. Senate Leader Phil Berger said yesterday that the expansion of casinos and video slot machines can only be passed as part of the budget. Now, critics have said, you know, it needs to be taken up separately from the budget, but Berger acknowledged there are some lawmakers who would not support it on its own merits.
I just don't see gaming going forward as a separate bill. I think it's either in the budget or we don't have a particular pathway as far as gaming that I can think of.
House leaders have been talking to majority Republicans there about to gauge their support for putting gambling in the budget. And at this point, it does not look good. WRAL News obtained an email that was sent by House Speaker Tim Moore to the Republican caucus this week. To be clear, we will not pass a budget that does not have 61 Republican votes, he wrote. As you can see, there are not 61 Republicans willing to vote for the budget if it includes gaming. Moore goes on to say that they plan to hold a meeting next week to discuss a budget that does not include an expansion of gambling, which is casinos as well as those video slot machines. That doesn't mean that those things might not be in the final version of the budget. You know, things change quickly down here and there's a lot of horse trading, but at this point, it doesn't look as likely as it did earlier this week. Jeff?
It changed quickly, but I've waited a long time to get that budget done. Laura Leslie, live at the Legislative Building. Thank you. If you use a certain CPAP machine, you could be due some money. We'll tell you how much and the devices that are included.
Plus, AI is not going away, but how to regulate it. At 12:30, the pros and cons of artificial intelligence.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
New at noon, a snapshot of how inflation is affecting our daily lives. Experts at the UNC Kenan Flagler Institute today talked about how the Federal Reserve could tackle the fluctuating inflation rate. WRAL's Ken Smith listened in on this morning's session. He joins us now with the big takeaways. Ken.
You know, Renee, inflation reversal was a term we heard a lot in the discussion this morning. You know, the Federal Reserve has increased interest rates 11 times in the last 17 months. This is all, of course, an effort to cool the economy. But as we've been reporting this week, Americans are still spending despite inflation. The Fed paused another rate hike at its last meeting since the inflation rate was improving, albeit slightly. The chief economist at Kenan Flagler, Frank Cohen, focused some of his discussion today on energy prices that are rising lately at a time when gas prices usually drop, which makes the next Fed meeting one to watch.
Because they kind of focus on the headline number, that's their official target of 2% is on the headline number, and they've taken advantage of the fact that lower energy prices have driven inflation lower. Now this is going in reverse, which is a big challenge for the Fed.
Well, some key inflation data is coming out next week. We're talking about the CPI report that measures what we all pay for goods and services like gas and groceries. The Federal Reserve looks at those numbers very closely. That CPI report is due out next Wednesday, the 13th. The next Federal Reserve meeting is set for September 19th. Renee.
We'll keep an eye on how this all plays out. Ken, thank you.
CPAP users have reached a settlement with Philips over a nationwide recall. The company recalled the CPAP, BPAP, and ventilators in June of 2021 over potential health risks. The company now has to pay more than $470 million in cash to affected users. Other device users can apply for the compensation as well. The settlement only covers economic loss claims, but does not cover medical monitoring or personal injury claims, counsel for the plaintiffs said. The deal still requires federal regulatory approval. Kroger said it has agreed to pay $1.2 billion to settle the majority claims that it fueled the opioid epidemic through lax oversight of its pill sales. The payments to U.S. states, local governments, and Native American tribes will take place over 11 years. That settlement would allow for full resolution of all claims on behalf of those parties. The company said the settlement is not an admission of wrongdoing or liability.
The Hopscotch Music Festival will draw thousands of people to downtown Raleigh this weekend. Here are just a few of the pictures courtesy of the Hopscotch Facebook page. Pavement the Rock Band rocked it out at City Plaza, and the band always charmed the crowd at the same location. Many other venues are hosting artists. WRO's Kelsey Coffey explains how the city is taking steps to make sure everyone stays safe.
An estimated 25,000 people will be in downtown Raleigh for the festival that continues today and tomorrow. Shows will be happening in venues across the area, including here at Moore Square. WRAL's data trackers looked at crime trends over the downtown area where Hopscotch is taking place from the Warehouse District to Moore Square. Just in the past 8 months, Raleigh police have reported 252 drug offenses, 216 assaults, and 182 thefts in this part of downtown. Raleigh's mayor says she's seen some of this activity firsthand.
I witnessed with my own eyes a drug deal take place. I mean, we have kids running through restaurants, stealing tip jars, harassing staff.
This is video after a deadly stabbing Tuesday night at a nearby Raleigh station. Raleigh police are now looking to hire private security to help them combat this rising crime. We haven't received any crime reports from the first day of the festival, but the music starts again here at Moore Square at 3:30 this afternoon. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
For the fourth time, Fayetteville will celebrate winning the All-America City Award. A block party is happening tonight on the Festival Park Promenade from 5 to 7 p.m. The event is free. You can go and enjoy music, games, and ice cream. After the party, you can walk to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers game. It starts just after 7 o'clock. Sounds like a fun time.
It does. So our options for this weekend, sunshine and heat or rain and cooler temperatures is what we're looking at here. There's always a trade-off, Elizabeth. We need that happy medium for fall.
We're going to get there. You know, by the end of September into early October, we're going to have that sweet spot, that window where it's just beautifully sunny and the humidity is gone and the temperature is perfect. And then it'll be November. And then you know what happens. We got to enjoy it while we have it. Summer-like out there right now. It's a live look at Lake Gaston from the Point Restaurant. 92 degrees now. We're going to move on up into the mid-90s. But the one thing that's changed that's different from yesterday is our dew point is in the mid-60s. Yesterday, our dew point was in the low 70s. This is a measure of moisture in the atmosphere, so it tells you how it's really going to feel outside. And in the 70s, it does not feel comfortable. We get our dew points into the 50s, and that feels refreshing. So we're halfway in between that right now, and that will help to keep our temperatures feeling about like the temperature really is. Instead of it being 94 and feeling like 100 or 102, we're seeing just a slight difference. So Durham and Raleigh are at 92, but it feels like 95. Now, in Clinton, where the humidity is higher or the dew point is higher, it's 89 but feeling like 100. Same story in Fayetteville, 88 feeling like 97, but it just feels like 90 in Southern Pines. It feels like 91 in Rocky Mount, 93 in South Hill, but it does feel like 97 in Goldsboro. So the farther south you are, the more moisture in the atmosphere, the hotter it feels. Our temperatures, though, widespread are running a little cooler. It's not a big drop. 3 degrees cooler in Durham and Raleigh, 5 in South Hill, 4 in Southern Pines and Fayetteville, but we'll take everything we can get since we were at 102 the last couple of days. So looking at mid-90s, Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville, our normal high is 85. Once we get past today, those highs are going to be in the 80s through Wednesday, Thursday, probably through next weekend. So we're going to get a nice break. Courage plays versus Louisville, and that's going to be tomorrow. We do have a better chance for some scattered thunderstorms. At 12 o'clock, 30%. At 2 to 4 o'clock, we're looking at a 50% chance of rain. That means you've got, you know, a chance. Flip the coin about whether it's going to rain or not. I would take along your umbrella, your raincoat, just to be sure. Our temperature outlook going forward through next weekend is below normal, so we should have some cooler temperatures headed our way, which will be nice to see. Oh, we do have a severe thunderstorm that's down near the Wilmington area right now. A couple of cells starting to develop, and that's where ours will come from. We don't have a particular risk for severe storms this afternoon, but you know, one or two of those could produce some strong gusty winds, certainly, and some heavy rain. There's 5 o'clock, a little bit of rain near Goldsboro. Once we get to sunset, that begins to fizzle out. And again, today it's a 20 to 30% chance. Now we get into the day tomorrow. It starts earlier. There's lunchtime, much more widespread. It is likely to be finished though by around 5 or 6 o'clock. So it'll be more of an afternoon and not so much of an evening event as long as that computer model is correct. So 20 to 30 today, 50% tomorrow. So if you're going to be out and about during the afternoon, especially say for hopscotch or for the NC State game, you're going to need to take along the umbrella. This evening at 9 o'clock, 80 degrees. Tomorrow, 77. We have football Friday, of course. We have just a small chance for thunderstorms. 86 degrees at game time, and it'll be feeling so much better. It will actually feel like 86. So the kids have had a hard time getting any practices in with the heat and humidity this week. At NC State, looking at a 40 to 50% chance between noon and two. So again, if you're headed out to the NC State Notre Dame game, I would take along the raincoat. Notice between 2 and 5 o'clock, that's when we'll have the best chance of seeing any rain. We've been talking about Hurricane Lee. The big news at 11 o'clock was the storm has turned a lot weaker, and it is likely to remain weaker over the next several days. We're going to take a look at that turn coming up and talk about what our winds and our waves could be off the coast of North Carolina coming up. But loving these 80 degrees that are likely to stick with us all week next week.
Looking forward to that. Coming up on WRL News at 4, the remains of a North Carolina Tuskegee Airman are coming home nearly 80 years after he was declared missing in action during World War II. We spoke with his cousin about this extraordinary turn of events.
And then at 5 p.m., find out which local restaurant received its fifth straight B or lower grade in 500 Side's restaurant ratings. Still ahead this noon, Gatorade's hottest new flavor is water. Look at it. What's in it, though, that makes it different from what flows from the tap?
Plus, Walmart is changing its pay scale for some entry-level workers. Who's affected by this change?
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, police have made two arrests. These two suspects here were involved in a shooting in connection to a shooting in Clayton on Monday, September 4th. Ethan Von Lee on the right here and Christopher Michael Morrison were arrested and charged with attempted murder and felonious conspiracy in the shooting of Joseph Norman. We do have video of the scene from that day. Police were dispatched to a shooting that occurred behind Domino's Pizza on Athletic Club Boulevard. Both are being held on a $1 million bond. Norman, the person that was shot, is in the hospital recovering.
Apple is warning customers to update their phones and tablets immediately to protect their personal data. The company issued an emergency fix that shores up a vulnerability they fear hackers may already be exploiting. Users should go to their settings on their iPhones or iPads and select General and then Update to iOS 16.6.1 and then download and install. Customers can visit support.apple.com for more info on the potential breach. Starbucks pumpkin spice latte fans, what could be better than your favorite fall drink, right? How about getting two of them for the price of one? Each Thursday this month, Starbucks rewards members who purchase a fall drink get a second one free. The buy one, get one deal includes several pumpkin and apple crisp drink varieties. But take note, you can only use it once each Thursday after 12 p.m., and that's through September 28th.
Walmart is cutting the starting pay for some new hires. That means cashiers, personal shoppers, stockers, and associates in departments such as electronics will all get the same starting hourly wages. The chain hiked the pay for those workers in March 2021 as e-commerce sales soared. A Walmart spokesperson says the new pay structure will not result in pay cuts for existing employees. It ain't over till it's over. The party is back on at Party City. A judge signed off on the party supply store's reorganization plans. Party City filed for bankruptcy in January, you may remember, after struggling to pay off its debt load. The reorganization cancels nearly $1 billion of its debt. And while some of its nearly 800 U.S. stores will close due to the bankruptcy agreement, the company says the majority will stay open.
Gatorade is introducing a new drink that ditches all the extras. The company says its Gatorade Water is electrolyte infused and contains alkaline, which has a higher pH level than tap water. Now, many claim alkaline water helps with weight loss, clear skin, and even fighting cancer. The new product is free of carbs, sugar, calories, and artificial sweeteners, and it is set to hit shelves next year. The war in Ukraine is expected to take center stage at this week's G20 summit in New Delhi, India. How President Biden hopes to convince nations to stay the course.
Plus, getting ahead of a potential problem, Congress grapples with the possible threat artificial intelligence could pose to American industries. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
President Biden is now in India for a G20 summit today, where the war in Ukraine is expected to dominate the agenda.
Biden wants to rally Western allies to continue their support, which has been wavering as the war grinds to a stalemate. Bree Jackson reports the president hopes to convince nations the United States and its allies have better economic security than China.
President Biden arriving in India for this year's G20 summit. The White House says reforming the World Bank and helping developing countries invest in climate change as well as infrastructure projects are top of mind. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen previewing the president's priorities ahead of the meeting.
We're committed to supporting emerging markets in developing countries and to addressing global challenges.
The economic impact of the war in Ukraine is also on the agenda. The G20 has been divided over this conflict. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was in Kyiv this week, showing strong support for efforts to fend off Russian aggression.
If we allow that to go forward with impunity, then you open a Pandora's box, and it's a recipe for conflict around the world. Would-be aggressors say, hey, the Russians can do it, I can do it. That's not a world that Americans want to live in.
On Capitol Hill, lawmakers are debating whether to provide more funding for Ukraine.
What is the point in cutting off support now when we're at a turning point in the war? Reflection point.
I think I need to see progress on our own border security before I'll support any type of funding for Ukraine.
During the G20 summit, President Biden is expected to call for a peaceful resolution to the war. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
And after the G20 summit in India, the president heads to Vietnam in an effort to strengthen economic ties between both nations.
And breaking news in the WREL Live Center right now, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi just said she does plan to run for re-election for in the U.S. House next November. We knew that she was considering another run for office next year despite concerns over her health and despite her husband saying that she was, quote, done. The 83-year-old told Politico that the departures of fellow female lawmakers gives her pause about leaving office. This is breaking news. We'll stay on top of this and bring you the latest from the Live Center.
Michelle, thanks. There's a new policy requiring charter schools to be compliant with state laws before receiving funding. The State Board of Education adopted the new policy yesterday. It allows the board to withhold funding if they think a school is not in compliance with state or federal law. The board was stripped of its ability to approve or deny new charter schools earlier this year. They do still have a responsibility to fund them. State Superintendent Catherine Truitt wants to push back on complying with the new Parents' Bill of Rights to January. She says state leaders and school systems are still waiting on answers on how to comply with the law. It's preventing them from being able to implement it now. For example, Truitt says she isn't sure what permission is and is not required for schools to provide medical services to children in emergency cases. Truitt says she's been talking with lawmakers about this. A spokesman for Senate Leader Phil Berger says they're aware of the concerns and are working to address them.
The start of the school year is putting renewed attention on the country's growing migrant issue. Ron Allen shares why the mayor of New York City is calling it a problem that will destroy the city if they don't get more help from the federal government.
This morning, students and teachers in the country's largest school system are starting the school year with a new challenge. Migrant children, like third grader Anil, are entering U.S. classrooms for the first time. I do feel very excited, he says, admitting he's nervous as well. Overall, some 20,000 children from migrant families are now attending city schools, part of what Mayor Eric Adams has called a crisis overwhelming New York. More than 110,000 new arrivals in need of food, housing, and education.
We're getting no support on this national crisis.
And he says more migrants keep arriving, as many as 10,000 every month. Many bus from other states or making their own way here. The Democratic mayor accusing the Biden administration of failing to act.
I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City.
In response, the Biden administration saying it has worked closely with New York officials, providing more than $140 million in aid this year, adding only Congress can reform our broken immigration system and provide additional resources to communities across the country. Republicans pouncing on the mayor's criticism.
All of them are discovering suddenly the burdens of Joe Biden's open borders and illegal immigration.
And it's not just New York. Cities nationwide are buckling under the pressure of asylum seekers. Meanwhile, overnight, a U.S. appeals court granting a temporary stay, allowing Texas to keep controversial buoys in place on the Rio Grande between the Texas-Mexico border. Governor Greg Abbott has argued the buoys deter illegal crossings, while critics raise humanitarian concerns, saying they can lead to drownings. Back in New York City, the arrival of so many school-age migrant students is a conflicting issue for many parents.
Does that concern you?
No, not really. I'm an immigrant myself.
I want my tax dollars to go toward my kids, but the softer side of me feels bad for these kids. You know, it's not their problem.
Ron Allen reporting. The Chatham County Health Department is hosting free childbirth classes. It gives expecting mothers and their partners an opportunity to learn about their options leading up to and during childbirth. The classes will be held on Saturdays in September between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. at Chatham Medical Plaza in Siler City.
As artificial intelligence seeps further into daily life, there are mounting questions on Capitol Hill about how to regulate this fast-growing technology. Rebecca Castor explains the risks and rewards of artificial intelligence.
From healthcare to retail, banking, and entertainment, AI is changing the landscape in numerous industries. And lawmakers are racing to regulate the rapidly advancing technology.
We need to find an approach that balances both innovation and safety.
On Capitol Hill Thursday, AI and energy experts testified before a Senate panel about the risks and rewards the emerging technology could have on the nation's energy sector.
AI can do a lot of good, but it can do a lot of harm here, right?
Advocates say AI could help stabilize an overburdened electric grid, like in Texas, where extreme heat is putting cities at risk for blackouts. But hackers showed in 2021 how an entire oil pipeline could be taken offline. And Congress does not want a state's electric grid to be next.
AI also lowers the bar for bad actors to do even worse things and to do those worse things easier.
Meanwhile, the U.S. does not want to lose the AI race to China or risk its scientists' research falling into the wrong hands.
We simply must be bolder and move faster or risk falling behind.
We will not outcompete China in AI if they're able to just steal the technology funded by our taxpayers' dollars.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. Thursday's Senate hearing is just the start of many conversations lawmakers will have on AI this session. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is hosting his first AI forum next week. Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates are expected to attend.
Still to come this noon, a traveling 9/11 remembrance crisscrossing the country. What it shares from ground zero so Americans never forget.
And we'll explain what Snapchat is doing to make it harder for strangers to contact teens on the social app.
Give you a live look right now at Lake Gaston this noon hour. Little ripples in the water there. Maybe a little breeze that's pushing the upper 80s, close to 90 degrees there. Water feel good. As you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
I'd like to be on that boat. The North Carolina Courage has a chance to win back-to-back championships Saturday at the NWSL Challenge Cup Final. The Courage hosts Racing Louisville FC at 12:30 at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. This year's Challenge Cup has a $1 million prize pool, the most ever for a U.S. Women's Soccer League. The Courage advanced to the final after a dramatic 1-0 win in the semifinals against the Kansas City Current. Midfielder Brianna Pinto says the team's excited to do what they do best tomorrow.
We're so excited. We want Wake Med Soccer Park to be packed out. We've been really proud of the performances we've had at home, and we just continue to hope growing the game here in North Carolina.
Tickets are still available on the team's website. Last May, the Courage won the Challenge Cup with a 2-1 victory over the Portland Thorns. The Courage hope to become the first club to win two consecutive Challenge Cups.
High school football is back tonight. We have a full slate of coverage for you. The 43rd season of Football Friday with highlights from over 20 games in our area. Begins at 11:35 on WREL. First up, though, it's High School OT Live. Live in-game updates starting at 7 o'clock on WREL Sports Plus. Then on Sunday, you can check out the NFL. Carolina Panthers take on their division rivals, the Atlanta Falcons. You can catch the action on Fox 50. Kickoff is at 1 p.m.
Monday marks 22 years since the worst act of terrorism on American soil. But for some, it was just like yesterday.
I was scared. I thought I'd seen everything. 25 years in the fire department.
How a traveling exhibit aims to ensure Americans never forget.
Plus, eBay wants to make it easier for sellers to unload their merchandise. How artificial intelligence will help take the hassle out of creating product listings. As we approach Monday and 22 years since the 9/11 attacks, Mark Santia gives us a closer look at a mobile September 11th exhibit, the traveling museum that features World Trade Center artifacts and guided tours from New York firefighters who responded to Ground Zero that day.
Lining the streets of Mount Kisco, a warm welcome for a painful piece of New York history. The 9/11 Never Forget mobile exhibit rolling into town.
It's a 53-foot semi-trailer that opens up to 1,100 square feet. The Tunnels and Towers Foundation created this 10 years ago.
This exhibit has crisscrossed the country, now taking center stage here in Westchester County ahead of this year's 9/11 remembrance.
It's great, you know, because there are so many people who never have the opportunity to come to the city to see the museum there, and this actually brings a part of that terrible day to them, and so, you know, it's a big traveling piece of history.
On display, personal items and artifacts from Ground Zero, and you'll hear history from retired members of the FDNY who were there 22 years ago.
I was scared. I thought I'd seen everything, 25 years in the fire department, and all of a sudden, the traffic helicopters are gone. The planes are gone, and then what do you see? Apache helicopters, jet planes. It was frightening for everybody in New York.
For retired Battalion Chief John Bruckner, this exhibit is a chance for so many in the tri-state to reflect, remember, and never forget.
I don't want people to forget. I lost so many friends. I worked all up and down Manhattan and the Bronx. I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around how many people that I cared for and loved, slept with, ate with, drank with, we're gone in, you know, a matter of an hour.
Is there any other date that comes with more meaning than 9/11 when you hear that? It was Mark Santia reporting. This mobile exhibit has traveled the country since 2013, making this its 10th year. The mobile exhibit is free to everyone.
After two decades in the making, the Pearlman Performing Arts Center is almost set to welcome visitors at a very different Ground Zero. The Performing Arts Center was first envisioned to add life and draw people to a place that had been synonymous with devastation and mourning. Officials from the center say they want to make sure it remembered the 9/11 victims respectfully. Organizers say they face numerous challenges such as financial roadblocks and designs. The Pearlman Performing Arts Center is expected to open on September 19th. Peter, hey. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we're just headed towards the weekend here on a much lighter note with Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center looking at the hurricane out in the tropics right now.
That's right. We're going to take another look at Lee. Of course, we talked about what was new at noon, but if you're just tuning in, the wind speeds are diminishing. This morning, we had an afternoon potential wind speed of 180 miles per hour. If we saw 180 miles per hour with Hurricane Lee, it would put it in the top 10 of hurricanes in the Atlantic in terms of wind speeds. But it looks like we have wind shear or winds in the upper levels of the atmosphere. They're tearing the storm apart a little bit and not allowing it to strengthen much farther. So we're happy to see that, certainly. The track is still right on target. We haven't seen any real change in the track. The forward motion is likely to slow a little bit into early next week. Still expected to make that turn, but stay off the coast of the United States. Here's a look at the storm now. It's moving northwest at 13 with winds at 155. It started this morning with winds at 165, and now we've seen that drop a little bit, and it's forecast to continue to drop. One of the reasons that the 11 o'clock advisory looks different is because they sent the hurricane hunters in. I love this graphic. It shows exactly where the hurricane hunters have flown. And right there with the hurricane hunter over the eye wall, it was able to measure this surface wind at 151 miles per hour. It flew around again a little bit more, paused again near that eye wall, and picked up 143 miles per hour. So much great information comes out of those hurricane hunters. They fly over the storm and they drop instruments into it, and they're able to get those readings. That goes into the forecast and makes the forecast so much more accurate. And so that's why we have the adjustment for this afternoon. Looking at the weekend, wind speeds dropping down to 130 miles per hour by the time we get to early Wednesday, starting to make a little bit of that turn. Of course, we can watch this. This is one of our computer models that shows the wave heights as this storm travels. You can see as it passes north of the Bahamas, there's going to be a lot of heavy surf there, a lot of rip current danger. And then we'll see the same thing as it sits off the coast of North Carolina, very similar to what Franklin did last week. This is going to be 5 o'clock on Friday. We'll see heavy surf that'll cause erosion and really dangerous rip currents. And that will continue. We'll really start about the middle of next week, continuing into the middle of the following week. We also have Tropical Storm Margo with winds at 40 miles per hour. By the time we get into early next week, it's likely to be a hurricane, but it just stays out in the Atlantic. it doesn't look like it's going to have a major effect. We have some thunderstorms that are starting to pop up down here just offshore and around the Wilmington area. One of those producing a severe thunderstorm down just to the west of Wilmington. What we're going to see around here, of course, is a few isolated storms later on this afternoon, but we have more coverage that comes for us on Saturday. We'll see Saturday becoming much more cloudy. That'll keep our temperatures cooler, but you can see during the afternoon, fairly widespread storms. Some of those are going to produce some heavy rain and some blustery winds, but we are not under a potential risk for severe storms, at least right now. 20% today, 50 Saturday, 40 on Sunday. Hopefully that helps you plan a little bit. Once we get past today, we are out of the big heat. As a matter of fact, I'm eyeing Thursday with a high of 82 and a morning low there of 61. So much more pleasant conditions coming.
Yeah, it's on the way. Thanks, Elizabeth. Certainly can't call a married couple in Kansas City fair weather Chiefs fans. How this pair incorporated the team in their commitment ceremony.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. New in the last hour, investigators searched two homes in Wake County connected to a woman whose body was found in Jordan Lake. Chatham County Sheriff's Office investigators executed search warrants as part of their ongoing investigation into the death of Hadil Hikmat. We'll continue to follow this story as it develops throughout the day.
State lawmakers say they plan to vote on a budget next week. Still not clear, though, whether it will include a massive expansion of legalized gambling in North Carolina. Legislative leaders want to allow up to 4 casinos and legalize video poker machines statewide, but there may not be enough support for it. To find out what is in its way, you can go to NC Capital section of WRL.com.
Apex police are sounding the alarm about a man pretending to be an officer and trying to stop people. Apex police say a person told them the impersonator stopped them on Center Street near US 1 on Tuesday. Police say he was driving a black Ford Crown Victoria with red and blue lights in the visor area. The victim says the man's car had damage to the front bumper.
Snapchat is adding new features and policies to make teens safer on its app. The company plans to add restrictions on friend suggestions and create a system to remove inappropriate content. Users between the ages of 13 and 17 will also need a certain number of mutual friends before other accounts show up in their searches and suggestions. eBay will give sellers the option to create product listings from just a photo using generative AI. The company believes the AI product listings will help speed up the selling process. The new tool uses pictures uploaded by sellers to fill in information like product title, description, item category, and other key things buyers may want to know.
The Chiefs season opener may not have gone the way they wanted, but nothing could spoil the day for two fans. Alex and Tony got married back in April. The two had everything from Chiefs jerseys used as guest books, a veil embroidered with arrowheads, and a blinged out Chiefs jacket. They even wrote vows drafting each other. And instead of being pronounced husband and wife, they were pronounced as one team. Huh, love that. They fell in love at Arrowhead and got engaged before a game in 2021.
Our pet of the day is a 5-year-old diva who's looking for a new home. Molly is a friendly, outgoing cat who loves attention from people. She is good with kids and senior citizens, and she likes low-energy dogs as well. But she is not the biggest fan of other cats unless they leave her alone. Molly has FIV, which basically means taking Molly to the vet a bit more often, as well as making sure she is never in super stressful situations. Get more information at spcawake.org.
Hurricanes, extreme heat, and wildfires. Natural disasters have wreaked havoc throughout the summer. Today at 4, now is the time to ask, can your finances weather a natural disaster? What you can do right now to prepare. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can break your news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.